Get ready to ignite your real estate business with the Launch Your Farm podcast. Our episodes are packed with inspiration, success stories, and expert strategies that will help you dominate your geographic farm. So tune in and enjoy.
Right. I can tell you that by the end of the listings that are going out every 3 days, and at least for a buyer, and my nurturing campaign, they're getting hit 285 times, about 285 times a year.
Welcome back to another episode of the Launch Your Farm Show. I'm your host, Ryan Smith, and today we've got a great guest. It's Patty Sampson. She is a CRM specialist and a drip campaign specialist. I am super excited to dive in and get some knowledge from her because there's some really good nuggets that we're going to take out today. So Patty, take a second, tell us a bit about yourself and why you're here.
Well, thanks, Ryan, for having me. I really appreciate it. Well, yes, I'm Patty Sampson. I started out in this business as a real estate agent, and I still am a real estate broker here in Scottsdale, Arizona. I've been doing this for almost 20 years now and worked mostly, my business was internet based. And so as a result, I had to get good at prospecting and basically managing my database. So I say I'm the self-proclaimed drip campaign queen because I was obsessed with automation and how to make it look like I really meant to send it. You know what I mean? Instead of it being canned. And obsessed with getting a response. And of course, as a result, turning those into sales. So, you know, I started right off the bat and sold 42 homes my first year in real estate. And from there, here I am today, an author of a book. I just rolled out my new book, Drip Campaign Secrets, on Amazon, top seller. I was excited about that. So that's kind of the long and the short of it. And today my goal is to help real estate agents all over the world to get better at their follow-up, because there's no money in lead generation, right? It's all in the follow-up in our business, sure.
Yeah, there's a lot I want to unpack today because I think there's some real information that agents need to understand, because a lot of agents do struggle with this. I wouldn't say I was the self-professed king of follow-up and email campaigns, but when I got started, that was something I dove into. I was internet-based as well, and I really learned it, and I saw the need for it because a lot of agents just struggle. And I would say most agents struggle with really knowing what to do, how to do it, why to do it, how often do you do it, and there's just so much mystery around it, and there's a lot of myths around it. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of just terrible practices, which I'm sure you've seen.
Oh, well, that's why I have a business today.
That's exactly. And there's a lot of great opportunity. So I want to dive into some of that today. But before we do, I always like to start with kind of who you are and where you came from. So you mentioned you've been an agent for about 20 years. So tell us about what got you into real estate and what got you into internet leads. Because I think
that's a great question. It's part of what I talk about in the book, because I wouldn't be here today had it not been for what I did before I got into this business. And I went to school, college here at ASU, to with a party school. But I did learn while I was here. I was a paralegal basically for 17 years before I got into real estate. But this was during, and I'm really telling my age here, but it was during the 80s, early 90s. And, you know, we didn't have computers like we had. I had a word processor when I first started in the early 80s, you know, and I didn't even have that. I had an electric typewriter that I could literally put in a macro. And if you're as old as me, you know what those are. There, you put one code into this electric typewriter and I could type 45 characters exactly the same over and over again, which was amazing when you're typing up legal documents, right? So you're not in the having to get the paper and that carbon paper and having to correct it. It was just a disaster. Anyway, so I started automating as much as I could, and then the word processors came in. And when I realized I could not sit behind a cubicle anymore doing this right to left, I had already automated the entire office with what I could do back in those days. And that was basically merging two documents together, where I had one with the information and the other one with the form. And so it was pre-Word, I think. But anyway, I figured out how to do that. And I would take my little floppy disk from desk to desk. Well, when I got into real estate, it was the first the first, well, I was at one brokerage, but it didn't really pan out there for the first few months I was there. And I ended up working for a company which will remain nameless now because they've since been sued. But I worked for a company that provided us like 100 to 150, 200 leads a month and online internet leads. And this was prior to Zillow-ish, you know. And they had a proprietary CRM, which I didn't have any clue what that was back then. And we're talking 80, let's see, what year was that? No, I got my license in 2004. So anyway, what we had to do was work these leads. And if we didn't work them, which is basically wanted us to touch these leads physically, electronically every single month, when you got 5,000 leads in your database, that's impossible to do. Yep. And so I figured out a way to automate it. And I had a process of, you know, I automated the best I could back then because they didn't have texting that was automated. You know, we did have like automated drip mail, but they didn't really want us using it. But I figured out a way to get around it. Yes. And what I did was I put a code in every time I'd give myself a number for which email they got. And eventually when CRMs actually did come into play, the customer relationship management software, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, we were able to automate all of that. And I just got so good at it. And the whole goal really was to get these people to open my mail. It did literally become a game to me. How many responses could I get?
Yeah.
And I could track that, right? I could see who was opening, who was clicking. And luckily the software did do that. So when that came into play, it changed my business. It absolutely did. I mean, I sold 42 homes doing it manually / automated, but it was still a lot of work to follow up and making sure that we're not losing track of where these people are in the process. Right. So,
yeah. It is a game changer. And a lot of agents never see that light of that because they never jump in and they're afraid of it. And I know my experience. So I've been 15 years in the business. I started on a team. We were internet based and we had a lot of leads and I would put them into an Excel sheet. And I had an Excel sheet and I had a little binder and I'd write my leads down. I'd print them off and I had them sitting there. And then it wasn't until I really actually jumped into using a CRM system that it completely changed my business because I remember the day I was out and I had a client call and they wanted some information and I had their information at the office in a binder. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like I don't have access to the information. So I have to be where that is. And I started looking into some CRM systems and I started looking at ones with mail merge. So I was able to mail merge and it just completely changed my mind. And then, like you said, I got obsessed with getting better at it. And I started going, how do I get better emails? How do I change the subject lines? And I went from, I think it was like 18% open rate. And over a few months, I started tracking, looking at the best emails. I read everything I could. And then I was up to like 42% open rate because I was just became a game for me.
Oh,
and it
absolutely
completely changed how I did my business. So I think for a lot of agents, I want to dive into how to get started in that first. And then we'll go into some of the more important things because I think there's a lot of agents who are kind of sitting on the sidelines, probably going, yeah, I should, or I know I need to, but they don't know how to take that next step or that first step. Right. So
I want to address your comment about the Excel spreadsheet, because I personally never use an Excel spreadsheet, partly because I never learned initially how to use Excel, but I it just floors me because I talk to agents every day of the week and how many of them tell me I'm selling 20 million and I'm using an Excel spreadsheet and it surprises the hell out of me. And I think to myself, if we could get you into a CRM, how much more you could do, you'd have a team, you'd be like running nuts, you know? Yeah. So how do you get into it? Well, first of all, you know, that question about, which I see all the time in social media, which drives me batty, just batty, is what is the best CRM out there, right? And so
it's an ongoing pun, it's a joke now because everyone asks
it's
so
such
much.
A joke. Well, and I don't mean it in a bad way. First of all, let me just say, I'm glad you're inquiring. I'm glad you're asking. I honestly think that, you know, you got to start somewhere if that's where you feel like you need to start. But the problem with that is that your business is totally different than my business. Mm-hmm. Like I know for sure you're doing your geographic farming. I have never done my business like that. And I think that's amazing. I couldn't tell you what would be the best CRM for your geographic farming necessarily. I could tell you the things you need to be watching for. Yep. So if I'm doing strictly internet business, I got to be sure that that CRM can integrate with my lead sources.
Yeah.
And sure, you probably have electronic ways for people to get into your software because you're using, you know, QR codes or landing pages and that kind of thing, which you really need to be doing. But I think the big key first is to sit down and figure out the things that you are struggling with. What's keeping you up at night? What is that? You know, you need to be on, you know, you need the software, but you don't know exactly what it is you need it to do, partly because you don't know what it needs. So I want you to sit down and figure out what are those things that you really want to make sure that you're not worrying about at night when you go to bed, because those are the things you need to go look for in a CRM that can help you. And most likely the CRM, there is a CRM that can help you with it.
Yep.
So instead of asking your neighbor agent who's sitting at the desk next to you, which one is the best? Sure, ask. But what I want you to ask is, what is it doing for you that you love, instead of what's the best? Because what's best for Joe isn't going to be the same for me, right? So find out what that is that you really want it to do. And maybe if you don't know, you need to get up. Well, first get my book, because I have a whole list of all the things your CRM could do. Plus, there's probably a ton more that I don't know about. But at least get started somewhere. And then once you get that, now our whole goal is, how are you going to get those leads into your CRM? And so that's the whole other discussion, because it's dependent totally upon the kind of leads you're getting, right? Yeah, if you're getting them online, like many of us are.
Exactly.
Integration is going to be absolutely key. And that is automating the lead into the software, so you're not manually doing it, because otherwise you won't use your CRM. You just won't use it.
Exactly. I agree.
You know.
And the analogy I always use when it comes to CRM systems is like, it's like buying a vehicle and mm-hmm. saying, what's the best car? Well, do you have a family? Are you using it for work? Are you, do you have a bunch of kids? Do you have, is it solo? Or do you care about gas? Do you care about fuel economy? Do you care about safety? Do you care about how much it costs?
Correct.
So I think for a lot of agents, when they ask that question, it's like saying, what's the best car? Well, it's going to be what's the best fit. So right. let's say they get over that hurdle, they figure out the right CRM system. They figure out what's right. going on. Where I find a lot of agents now get stuck, and correct me if I'm wrong, or if you think, if you agree.
Well, I won't correct you. I'm sure okay. it's right. There's all kinds of issues. We're all getting them.
Agents get in, they get their CRM, they get things set up, they put their leads in there, if they even know how to do that. They log on, and then they go, now what? And they don't actually right. leverage it. They don't use it. And they go, I've got a CRM. They tell people, I've got a CRM, and they don't know what to do with it. What would you say are those next steps for agents getting started, going, okay, I've got a system. I know how to use it or not. What's the best ways to get started using it?
Right. Okay. So you get your lead. Your goal is to get them in automatically. But if you're just getting started and you're going to load up your database, my first suggestion is not to go and get a list off, you know, from every open house you ever sat, and then open up your CRM and start adding it manually. You do not want to do that. You want to learn how that tool will help you import through an Excel spreadsheet. Now, Excel is not that hard. It's basically a table. And if you go to Google, and if you can't, or go find me, because I provide these services too. But your goal really is to get them into a table first. And then you want to make sure that your table is telling you two really, really important things, because without knowing about each one of these leads, there's no way for you to start communicating with them. Okay. So the first thing is, what is that contact type? And when I say that, I mean, what kind of human are they? Are they a buyer? Are they a seller? Usually they're one or the other. Now, if you're doing other kind of business, property management, or rental leads, because I've done my share of those, make sure that it's clear in one column, right, what it is. The other column is going to be, what's their status? So where are they in the sales pipeline? Are they brand new lead you've never spoke to? Are they somebody that you are working with that who hasn't quite told you they're ready to do something? Or are they closed? Or maybe they're just somebody in your world that you know, right? Yeah. That you want to just let them know you're an agent, but they're not actually reaching out to you yet. So I kind of equate that with maybe your church group or your singing group, like I sing. Those people that actually, you know, you have email and phone numbers for, but you want to just maybe send them holiday things or a sphere or something monthly, or your newsletter. So once you have those two things down, which are the two most important things, I don't care where these leads came from necessarily. It's good to know from the beginning, but right now, while you're trying to get yourself up and running, when you know those two things, you can put the people in buckets.
Yeah.
And so those buckets then are going to be, oh, these people need a buyer campaign. These people need a, you know, a nurturing seller campaign. These are my close clients. They need to be getting something to stay in touch with them or whatever. So once you know where they're at in that, in the contact type and status, now you can start communicating with them. So the whole goal, you guys, is to be able to communicate with them with something they care about. And unless you know, this is why it's so important in the beginning when you're getting leads to get them into the system, because unless you know where these came from, it's hard to really zero in how you can communicate with them. Yeah. So we can have that whole discussion here in a minute, but our, my goal for you is to get something running so that it's does two things. One, obviously it keeps you in front of them so that they don't forget about you.
Yep.
But two, it actually, when they're hitting on your stuff, which is opening and clicking, and if it's connected to a website, you can see their search results. You can see when they're logging in. My old system used to tell me when they were printing driving directions, which was amazing. Yeah. I've been in a CRM, my new CRM, when I'm going to roll out, is going to do that. But so our goal right now is to make sure that you not only are staying in front of them, but that the interaction with what you're sending is actually helping you identify the hottest, warmest business in your database. So you're not just staring at a list every day when you come in. Yeah. These are people that are going to be interested, and our goal is to figure out who are the hottest people. So I'm spending time with them.
Yep.
Not trying to go down the list alphabetically every day when I come in here.
Exactly.
And people at Z never get communicated with because I'm too busy, you know. So you want to be able to see, I want to work with the people that are hottest in here. And so how do you figure that out, right? It's managing, mining that database. It's not just for sending out stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you want to turn a drip, oh, look at your pup back there. Turn a drip campaign on to do that. So we can talk about what those look like.
I think, like you said, it's segmenting is so important because it's a step that a lot of agents skip and they don't understand the significance of that. And that is the difference between, if I looked at two agents' CRM systems and I saw one was segmented and one was not, I can tell you who's going to be more successful just from that alone. Because like you said, a lot of people will send blanket stuff if they don't have it segmented. They'll send a newsletter to everybody. They'll send the same information to everybody. And what matters to a first-time buyer family is not the same thing that matters to an investor selling his property and he owns 20 properties. So you have to segment it. And I find that that is where, again, a lot of agents get hung up on and they get stuck in that segmenting. And I've talked to agents, they're like, oh, it takes too much time. I don't have time for that. There's a lot of work. The reality is that's the work up front. And once it's done, it will speed things up drastically. But it takes work. And I think that there's an opportunity because most agents aren't willing to do that. Most agents haven't figured out how important that is. You have an opportunity to really create great content. And I share the story all the time. My friend, one of the first guests on my show, and he talks about how he segments his list, and he segments it even further than most people. And he has it down to interests and things that they like. So when he talks to them and he's doing an intake and he finds out what kind of things they're into. So if they're into beer, he'll check off that they're beer. So when he sees an article or a story, or if there's something interesting that's going on, if there's an event going on, he can segment his list and say, show me all the people who are into beer or all the people that are into dogs or whatever. And then you can now really tailor what you're sending.
Dude, I mean, there's just nothing more important than doing that, because I think what happens to most of us, we'll dump all of our stuff into that CRM because Joe told us to go over there. And then we go in there and we're using the standard drip campaigns. You know how many people, agents that call me and say, oh my God, I had to turn my campaigns off because my Facebook ad guy turned on my campaign, just dumped it straight into this, and it doesn't make any sense at all. Or my ad said I was going to offer a first-time home buyer guide and they never got it. I'm like, well, why was that? And I'll say, well, what did your ad say? I don't know. You don't know what your ad said? Why don't you know? Well, I don't know. But that guy just set it up for me. I'm like, okay, so there's problem number one. How can you really zero in what you're going to offer and keep these people interested if you're not even starting out the shoot sending what you promised you were going to send?
Yeah.
So the great thing about that is you get your drip campaign that is so strong, your buyer campaign and your seller campaign, how easy it is to take that. In most CRMs, you can clone the entire thing. And then at the beginning, send them, set it up so you can send them what they signed up to get. So you're going to have different campaigns for each one of those lead sources that you have.
Yeah.
And you're referencing that because they're wondering how the hell you got their name because they accidentally hit something that happens a lot online. Well, I don't even know how you got my information, you know? So they're going to say that because you're not sending them what they care about for one. Yeah. And they're going to try to find an excuse to get out of that communication with you because you've already lost them right out of the chute. Right. So
I want to
get really solid campaigns and you can work from those templates that you have, right?
So that's exactly. And I was going to dive into that. I want to go into that next, but I want to ask you a question about importing context too, because I find there's two different ways that people will do it. And I believe in both. It just, you have to be prepared depending on how much list you have. There's the model of I've got this massive list. I got 1,000 people. I'm going to just take it, throw it in there and then them on the drip and then hit send. And in my experience, you then have 1,000 people, and then in a week from now, it says to call them. You got 1,000 people to call, and it sends 1,000 emails. That's one way of doing it, which can work if you have a smaller list. If you have a large list, it's very hard. Or I've seen the other ways, which is slowly drip them into your campaign and say, hey, I'm going to take 5-10 people per day, go through it, import it. Which camp are you in, or what's your thoughts?
I'm in your second camp, but even more specific. Okay, so here's the thing. This happens all the time where I'm leaving that CRM. I could go on and name names, but I'm going to leave that CRM. And I just exported 10,000 leads out and I'm trying to get them all into my other CRM. What's the best way for me to do that? And I go, well, problem number one is you exported them all out exactly the same. So just like you bucketize when you bring them, when you're trying to communicate, you really want to bucketize when you're exporting. Okay. Yeah. So if you're in a process of changing drip or CRMs, if you've done any tracking at all, and you've probably got 40,000 tags, unfortunately, because you don't want to put everyone into it, the same tags, but it's kind of a mess, but what are you going to do? You're going to try to figure out, in my book, normally when you're really trying to soup up and figure out who am I going to communicate first when I get into my new CRM, I'm going to export out, honestly, my oldest, well, buyer leads that are less than 2 years old. Now, if I can track that because I did a good job in that previous CRM, I'm going to pull them all out with the similar contact type and status. You know why? Because now, not only that, they're going to be the hottest, lowest hanging fruit, most likely. Someone might say, well, why not bring in all your old clients first? Well, you could do that, but if they're not quite ready to do anything, all you can do right now is ask for referrals and which you should do, but right now is probably not the time. Priorities. Let's see these old leads that you have less than 2 years old. They're probably more apt to do something because they started their research already. And now they're so far down the line and they haven't heard from you. So what are you going to do? So we're going to start with that group. And ideally start with, I say about 50, because you're already overwhelmed as you're coming into your new CRM.
Yeah.
You don't need to be learning it with 10,000 leads. Okay. So let's learn it with 50 of your lowest hanging, hottest fruit, and bring them in. And then we're going to turn on a re-engagement campaign. And I could tell you exactly what you need to be saying to them to get them to respond. So you can get at least 60% response rate from these people in the first 24 hours. And you need to just find out if they're still alive, you know, and then you need to be sending them listings if that's what they want. Plus your nurturing campaign. So I suggest that you don't do that first choice.
Yes.
Especially if it's significant. I mean, if it's over a couple of hundred, you really need to try to trim it down. Right. I also get, I've never gotten any response. These leads are dead. I think I'm just going to get rid of them. And I say, don't do that.
Yeah. I'll take them.
Yeah. If I was in your ear, I'll take them even if I'm over here because these people are dead for a reason, but it's probably not because they're done looking. It's because you've lost track of them and they lost track of you. So let's find out if they're still alive and still interested. And then when they tell you yes or no, unless they tell you to stop communicating with me, you can put them on some sort of campaign that will stay in front of them until they're ready, if they're not ready, or wherever they're at in that process, even if they already bought. Unless they said stop, you can put them on something to stay in front of them, right?
Exactly. So, I say until they buy, die, or tell you to F off.
Right. When do you know a lead is dead? When they tell you to stop or they're dead, right?
Exactly. That's, yeah.
Or they have opted out on their own. Yeah,
yep, exactly.
But even that, I mean, to be honest with you, could you do I could go on for hours about this. But yeah. Their email, you could do retargeting campaigns if they've already subscribed to your YouTube channel. I mean, there's so much you could do to stay in front of them that's not via email, by the way. Yeah.
So I don't want to go off too far on that because I think that might confuse people.
That's
so
a whole other discussion.
We could have you back on to discuss that because there's a ton of great stuff there. But I want to talk about automation because you mentioned at the beginning how important that is. And I think that is the magic of why a CRM system works so well.
Right.
And I think it's the secret sauce for really being efficient and being able to pull out big numbers. Because I used to have a gentleman I worked with, I won't say his name, when I first got started, he was a little bit of a savant. He had all of his leads in a little book like this, and he had everything in there, and his whole entire life was in there. And we'd said to him, like, if you lose that, your life's over. Oh, no, I never lose my side. And he lost it. But he had to manually go through everything. And with a CRM system that's automated, you can, like you said, sleep well at night knowing that things are being taken care of. You can focus on the things that are important. You can worry about the most important people, most important follow-ups, and not worry about it. So let's talk about the kind of the basics of automation and what agents can do. And then we'll dive into some more advanced stuff that they can.
Perfect. So I think obviously, like I said, initially, depending on where your leads are coming from, but in my book, to be honest with you, the majority of this, 99.9% of this can be automated to get your leads into the CRM. Because obviously if you're paying for leads and it's fast, right? What do they say? 66% of people will work with the agent who responds first. Now that doesn't mean they haven't already signed up somewhere else, right? But you want to be there. If they're signing up somewhere on Zillow, I hate to say it, or wherever it is that you're buying your leads from, they signed up to get something from you or from somebody, right? And if you're paying for that, whether it be a Facebook ad or a Google pay-per-click, whatever, they're waiting, you know? So you have to assume they're waiting. So that's like the first thing. We need to get that automated so that it's happening at all hours of the night, right? Yeah, I get I shouldn't text at 3 a.m. I say text at 3 a.m. because they signed up at 3 a.m. So don't worry about it. They know it's automated, but you need to send what they asked for and they won't care, right? So if you had ever had, I never get anyone complaining, why'd you text me at 3 a.m? Never, ever. Because first of all, I'm sending what they asked for and it's helpful information. Okay. So that said, you could also automate your stuff so that everything subsequent to that goes out at a time that makes sense, because you've preset your system to drip out emails and texts that are helpful, that are instilling trust. That not every email is going to say, how's it going? How's it going? Do you need me? Do you need me? You need to educate. All right. So our goal is to automate throughout the way. And it's not 10 days only of pain, you guys. It is more than that. 10 days of pain. Anyway, don't get me started there. Don't ask, let's meet for coffee. I'll slap you in the face if I hear that one more time, because they don't want to meet you for coffee, especially after COVID. We need to automate this stuff so that it will go out in a way that will make sense. So I normally will automate that text, the email. The other things I automate is all done pretty much in a drip campaign. Mm-hmm. And that is adding the source. Where did this lead come from? Adding the status. At that point, when it comes in, it's a brand new lead. Adding the tags if I feel like I need. I'll put a tag in my drip campaign that tells me which drip campaign they're on so that I can run a search. Tagging is really for quick identification of what's going on with that lead, but also to help you run a search in your CRM for things. And if you tag correctly without overdoing it, my issue is people don't use their fields and their statuses. They use their tags for everything, and then it's a jumbled mess, right? But adding all of these things, automate a notice to yourself that somebody just signed up, that you got either an email or a text, right? Automate as much of that. Add a note to the system, right? If your drip campaign can allow you to do that, mine does. By the way, I have my own CRM, but I help in others. Mine is Engage More CRM, but I help in everyone else's, and I've been in every other CRM out there. They don't all do everything,
yes,
but as much as that thing can do, some will automatically turn on a, like Chime does this, where it will automatically turn on a subscription. If you knew that lead was coming in off a certain ad, why not turn on a, you know, listing, you know, listing notification subscription for them automatically? Because you knew they're all coming in from that one ad that you made.
Yeah.
So why not have that built right in if you can do that, right? Because you've got a website that goes with it. So as far as the automation goes, that the two big things is getting those integrations that they come straight in and automating it directly into a drip campaign to turn on. You shouldn't be looking at that lead when it comes in and go, oh, they should get this lead or they should get this campaign, unless you're manually adding them. But you want my opinion? If you're standing in the grocery store, you guys, and somebody, you meet somebody, instead of, right, oh, let me get my information and let me write it down, or you don't have your phone, you don't have any, you're writing it on the, you know, back of your, you know, checkbook or whatever. Instead of doing that, how great would it be if you had your own landing page ready in here that you just filled out and it automatically added and immediately sent them something, got them into the system. Yeah. So you know how you're all making landing pages for everybody else? Make it for yourself, you know, because it's so easy that you could just fill it out and automatically, if you don't have any other technology, and there's plenty of that, because I could even say, give me your email, text me your email, it'll add to my account automatically. There's different ways to do it through text. There's like text to join. There's different ways that you can do that. So is that imperative? No. I think the two most imperative things you need is to have let's say landing pages. Ideally, you need a squeeze page option, whether it's in your CRM or it's a third party. Now, the problem sometimes with some of our CRMs, and mine included, that not every lead source will automatically go in without help. And you might need Zapier, right?
Yep.
Some third-party tool to help that, right, automation. But that go type in Patty Sampson Zapier. I did a whole training on YouTube about that. So realistically, those are the three most important things I would say is getting that drip campaign running. And that campaign should be loaded full of everything you could possibly do that you want to have it do. And what that is really dependent on what your CRM will do, right? Yeah. So mine does just about everything all the way to the end. And I love it because mine will actually turn a campaign on again. Mm. It'll restart it at the end of it if I choose.
That was going to be my next question is how long are you setting up campaigns for and how often are you renewing? Because I find, again, a lot of agents don't think long-term and they're thinking short-term and they're setting up and they go, okay, I got a couple months of stuff and then months over and they don't have anything for them. So what's your,
and then it's over and you don't even know that it's over.
Exactly.
So that's what you talk about, the 10 day of pain. It drives me nuts because 10 days, then you got it. What am I going to do after 10 days? You've got to physically be in there. If you want to add 10 days of pain, which for those of you who don't know what that is, just a lot of communication for the first 10 days, you can do it, but put it at the beginning of at least a year long campaign, if not longer. It should be no less than a year long. My campaigns, actually, this is what I do. I have a campaign that probably has an entire year where I will go pretty heavy the first month and then it starts to lighten up. I might, the next 2-3 months will go once a week. And then this is just the nurturing part, by the way. This isn't the other stuff I'm going to tell you about. But the nurturing part will be once a week for the next couple of months. And then it might go every other, but you have to keep in mind, like they're not coming on and buying teeth whitening kits, you guys. So this is a big, huge investment. So 2 weeks of a campaign is not long enough. And by the way, if somebody says that lead sucks because they never got back to me, well, you didn't catch them at the right time. You can't assume anything about these leads, you know, until they tell you to stop. They're a good lead for you. So you need to keep it running. So mine will actually give me a notice when it's over. So I have all these reminders that come in when the campaign ends so that I can go in and decide what do I want to do next. So after a year, right? Now, at the same time, I have a nurturing campaign, which is checking in occasionally and educating about my area, giving them information that's going to be helpful to them.
Yeah.
And we could talk about that content here in a second, but at the same time that's running, I'm making sure they're getting property listings or market updates. So depending if it's a buyer or seller, right? If you know they're a buyer, you probably know how you got it. If you bought a zip code or you're paying for leads on Facebook, they should be getting listings from you. And if you don't have a site that can set that up, you might, like my system will automatically send the same template out, just like the MLS, but yeah. I'm driving them over to my website. Yeah. And guess what I'm getting as a result? Search engine optimization on my website.
Yeah.
So all the money I'm spending on lead generation, it's turning into organic business for me, because even though I may not do business with these, by the way, you'll be lucky if you close three to five of those 100 that you get. Yeah. That's just the way it is on the internet. But the rest of them are still going to hit on my emails, and they're still going to click and look at the properties I'm sending them. And they're going straight to my website where I built a page, right, that is specific to that ad.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. So you've got a page you've created and you're just saying it's all automated. Once it comes in, two campaigns turn on. I don't touch anything. Now, sure, you should pick up the phone and call them. Yeah. Now, that's a whole nother thing, because I know there's coaches out there saying don't call. I personally think it's a mistake, but at the minimum, you're sending them a text, but they give you a number. How do you know they're not sitting there waiting to hear from you? I mean, if you can't do it, hire somebody to do it. You know, it's just, hey, how can I help you?
Exactly.
So, but a year long at least, but I would never stop it, because at that point I'm turning on some sort of other re-engagement campaign. Are you, the one I'm talking about, are you still alive?
Yep.
Do you want something from me? I have something to offer you. Tell me, are you still looking?
Yep.
It's that, you know, to find out if they're still alive. And worst case scenario, you've got them on a holiday campaign, and, or if you do newsletters, I would only do it if I was really focused on stuff that was going on in my world, and not just getting some crap from some company that doesn't have anything to do with Scottsdale, Arizona. You know, I wouldn't do that if you're going to get into it. Or any videos you're creating, throw those in there and send them out once a month. I mean, we could be here for days talking about content, but you know.
So speaking specifically to campaigns, and how many campaigns would you suggest agents have? And just give us the kind of the quick, bare bones ones.
I'm going to give you just an overview. My CRM has over 30 in them, but I have campaigns for new buyers, new sellers, right? Old stale buyers, old stale sellers. And those are long, you know, they're still long. They're just not sending as heavy, and I'm educating. I'm waiting for them to respond, right? I have campaigns for rentals, for probate leads, really depending on what your business is. So you have to think that over.
Yeah.
What is it? Most of us need the standard buyer and seller campaigns, right? New and old. So anybody who's closed, I always get, oh, what do you do? Well, it depends. Are they a closed buyer or a closed seller? Because I'm going to treat them differently.
Exactly.
What am I going to send to a closed buyer that's different than a closed seller? Well, frankly, I'm going to treat them different, but not really. Because I don't know how many times you've moved, but I've moved a few. I still love seeing what's going on in my old neighborhood. Yep. Right. So I'm going to send them updates on what's going on in their community. Instead of sending it every few days, I will do it once a month.
Yep.
And so you could set that up to happen automatically, either from your MLS or from ideally to your website, because most of our sites, we can go in there and run a search for that area. Right. And you could put every bit of activity that's going on, all the actives, all the solds.
Yep.
And just send it out automatic, set it up to go out once a month on those closed clients, right? But I also would turn them on a holiday campaign or a sphere campaign, which I send out one thing a month. I just finished my 2-year sphere campaign, by the way. In fact, I'm going to give everyone who's watching this a free, if they want it free, I'll tell you how to get it. And so 2 years worth is one thing a month, and it checks in twice a year with a text just to see if they need anything or they have any referrals, because you got to remember to ask for that. But other things that I have, honestly, is I created what I call the left message campaigns. And I have six total ones. And what they do is after I get off a call, trying to call somebody, if I leave a message, I'm going to follow up with a text and an email. That's all the campaign is. It's a text and an email. But I had six of them, three for buyers, three for sellers. And so instead of having to go in and type up a text or on my phone, oh, I just left you. No, I just turn on a campaign and it automatically will send a text and an email saying, I just left you a message. This is, you always have to introduce yourself, because they don't always know you, right?
Yeah.
Tell them who you are. Maybe at the beginning, you always have to make sure you tell them how you got their info too. And also give them an option to opt out. Hate to say it, you guys, but the laws are coming down heavy, heavy, heavy for this stuff. Texting, why is emails bad? Texting's worse. Make sure that you do this stuff, because if you don't, you'll be in trouble. But so I have campaigns that I will just automatically do that, right? And so I'm not having to manually do it. And then it adds a note to my system that'll say I left a message. So now I can go in the next time and say, I need everyone who has that note or the flag that said left message one. I can find all those folks so that I can go leave message two, right? Yeah. So I think I told you Sphere Holiday. I got 5 years of holiday with all video.
Nice.
And I've got a new that's new and running out. Well, my 5 years rolling out right now for anybody who wants to get it. But so I just think anything you could do to stay in front of these folks, but it's all nurturing until you actually talk to them.
Yeah.
And they should be getting listings from you at the same time. And because that's what they care about right now.
Yep.
Right. The listing, the market updates, if you know what it's subdivision or whatever it was, however it was, you got them as a seller. There's nothing stopping you from sending them updates on the market on what's going on so that they've got that. Even if you don't have their address, you probably have a good idea about where they're from.
Yep.
And if you don't, then it could be some, I'm in the Phoenix metro area. I mean, I could just do a general metro area update and send it weekly. Send it weekly for leads you haven't spoken to yet, because you just don't know when you're going to catch them, right? Yeah. Where they're at in that process.
So. And that's the key with all of this, is that you don't know where they're at and you don't know when you're going to catch them and what's going to change. And I've seen in my own business where people say, this is my plan. And then something happens. Their husband passes away. Their kid goes to school. They get a job transfer. And if you don't have systems following up with them over that time, even if they say, we're not moving for 5 years. So you put them in the back burner. It's like, if you don't have a good system, you're missing out on that potential and you're going to kick yourself because you could have got it.
Right. I can tell you that by the end of the listings that are going out every 3 days, and at least for a buyer, and my nurturing campaign, they're getting hit about 285 times a year. You're sitting here saying, well, it sounds like a lot, but it's really not, because the majority of it is listings and they care about that. They're not going to opt out of that. Right. So in those listings, they're getting an email that says, if this isn't what you want, let me know. And there's two buttons at the bottom of my emails. One is look at these listings, and the other one is schedule a meeting with me. You know, so they have an option there to, and that second button will actually write me straight back when they click that button. Mm. So again, it's about setup. You got to get it set up. And before you start running ads and before you start spending money at, you know, you could have, if you sit open houses all the time, you've got a standard open house campaign, right? You're going to turn that on. Next week, you'll change the very first email out. Because guess what? After that email goes, the rest of it's the same.
Yeah.
Just make sure you've got the other, you know, you're sending listings that are similar to the area where that open house is. If you have all that set up before you walk in the door, and maybe you go in a few minutes early, record yourself with your phone. If you can send a video and say, it was great to meet you at the open house, and make this your first text that goes out. Make sure you tell them what the address was too, because they might've seen a few and say, do you have any interest in it? It does not need to be specific to that person, but it sure can look like it, because you're saying, hey, it's Patty from the open house at 123 Main Street.
Yeah, that's great.
And, now you're asking them to get back to you, right? They're going to look at this, right? Because they're open, you know, what is it? 97% of people will look at their text. Doesn't mean they're going to respond, but better than the average people who look at your emails.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned something about your open rates, which is amazing. If you average open rates, less than 20% right now, it's kind of deceiving a little bit with the iOS updates and stuff, but if you can get, mine are all 50 to 60, and you've got to, and it's your subject line. It just boils down to that, you know? So there's that, but then calls to action always help too.
Yeah.
Inside the letter.
So I want to ask about the conversions too, because I think, again, if you are newer to internet leads, and if you haven't really done anything like this, I think some people are blown away one way or the other of how much it leads. Because I've seen a lot of agents generate leads and like, I've got 10 leads this month. And then the reality sets in of how many it takes. So can you just kind of quickly walk us through what the expectation should be and what that's going to look like for agents?
Well, if you're doing internet leads, again, internet leads mean a lot of things. If you're somebody who's buying at doing ads like on Facebook, keep in mind, they're sitting on the toilet, right? And they're scrolling and they, oh yeah, I like that house. They click on it. They sign up. They want to see how much it's worth, right? What kind of lead is that compared to somebody who's coming in off of YouTube, who's searching for your neck of the woods? Yeah. And you've put a landing page out there that says, get my list.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell you exactly what that conversion is for a YouTube lead, because again, it all comes down to your follow-up, because you still got to follow up, right? You still need to get these people into your system. Well, most of the people on YouTube are going to ask a question and just type it in the comments. And if you're ignoring your comments, I can't help you, you know? Yeah. Ideally, you always want to have some way to automate it so you can get the information. And so to me, the YouTube lead's going to be better because they're purposely out there looking for that. Also, a Google pay-per-click ad is going to be better than a standard, oh, I scrolled through my feed and saw this. In general, though, if you're doing like Facebook ads, you might close 3 to 5% of those. 5 is really, really good.
Yeah.
And so you're going, well, why would I even bother with this? Because you spent $30 on the ad and you got a lot of leads. It's a numbers game, right? Yeah. So the more leads, but again, you can't just turn on a 2-week campaign and expect to get these people to call you right back, because they're not going to do that. Exactly. It's really going to be up to you to stay on top of them, right? So I would love to say that if you got 100 leads on YouTube, that you should be able to close 50 of those. I mean, I want to say that, but I know a lot of people get excited and they'll sign up for stuff, but if you did this right, you probably could do way better than a standard 3 to 5% on a, you know, regular internet lead. It's a lot different, I think, now than it ever used to be, because everybody's doing it. Yeah. And before, almost no one was, right? And so you've got a huge, how are you going to stand out?
That's exactly. It's doing it even more, and you got to be more intentional with it and more segmented and more personal.
Like what you said earlier about the guy who was, oh yeah, the guy likes beer. I want to make sure he's getting that, right?
Yeah.
The more you can personalize without necessarily doing it manually, the better off you'll be. You really will.
Yeah.
It can be challenging, but I think your goal is to know what you're putting out in the world, because if you put a post out that got a lot of action off that post tells you something. And if somebody's responding, that's when you put that flag and you start segmenting. Right. If those people are responding to that, all of a sudden now, what can I do to respond to that? Well, I might say, oh, hey, there's a balloon event here in Scottsdale on October 30th. And I had a lot of people like it. Well, what if I said, I'm going to figure out a way to get them some free tickets, and I have a landing page I create for everyone who commented on it. Yeah. I don't have to do it for everybody, but I mean, you know, that's like the people that go out and buy those leads. They get the leads for the houses that might be available that for sale, that someone might want to list for sale. And now they're putting together all of these packages, and they're spending an arm and a leg to put them in the mail. I personally think that's a mistake. I think you ought to really make sure these people are interested by giving them some other reason to sign up for something else.
Yes, exactly.
And if you can do that, now they're showing interest, and now it makes sense for you to go to their house and drop this stuff off or spend the money on the expensive listing packages instead of every single piece of crap lead that you get, the time it takes. And you know, you're not going to close them all. I mean, you need to offer up something else to show you that they have more interest in this, right?
Which is why you need more of those emails to test out. And like you said, the call to action, so you see who's responding to what they're responding to. And then you can kind of work through that.
But I think the key is that people look at it like, oh my God, there's just so much work involved. No, if you get your standard campaigns done, it's not as hard as you think, because you clone the campaign, you just replace out the letters at the beginning, because in the end, they're all buyers and sellers to you, right? And then that recurring campaign that goes out with the listings is more specific to them, so they care about that.
Yeah.
You're driving people over to your site to look at, and if you're doing videos, make sure those videos are in these emails if you can, if they're generic enough to not be specific about one thing.
Yep.
If you do that, then make sure that's part of your campaign. But repurpose everything you're doing if you can, especially if you're doing video work, which everyone should be doing now. I mean, you and I right now are talking to each other as a result of a video I watched of yours, and you found out about me through my stuff. Yep. So video is just, anyone who's not doing it is just losing a massive opportunity. It just are. And it doesn't matter what business you're in. You just should be doing it. But
it works. So, yeah. Right, well, we always wrap up with a best piece of advice. So if you were giving some advice to people who are agents who are kind of either dipping their toes into the water of using CRMs and campaigns, or they're kind of trying to take the next level, what advice would you give them?
Well, I saw something yesterday, is that I'm the new agent getting into this business. I don't care if you're new or not new, that like, to get back to it, your goal before you do any more lead generation is to get yourself set up. And the excuse that you're too busy is going to lose you business, because you just have to plan to spend time, number one, learning your CRM, right? So it's one thing to have it. It's another to know how to use it. And I'll tell you something, you hire somebody to help you and you don't know how to do it, how do you know they're doing it right? So it's worth taking the time to learn it at least well enough to know what you need to watch for in the event you're losing business or you're not selling. If you're selling a lot, great. So you're learning it, and make sure that you get your campaign set up before you start doing all of these things, because it's money that is being wasted. Otherwise, you're losing opportunities to close sales because they're losing track of you and you're losing track of them. And when I hear that lead company sucks, 90% of my brain goes, that's not the what sucks. It's your follow-up.
Yeah, that sucks. 100%.
And then 100%. My last tip is this: there is no money in lead generation. The money is in the follow-up.
Yeah.
And on that note, you want to get my book, which is Drip Campaign Secrets. If you go to dripcampaignsecrets.com, it'll take you to the link to get you to the book. It's on Amazon. But if you go through, you can see just some other video that I put in there and all that. So dripcampaignsecrets.com. The other thing, if you just want drip campaigns, I have realestatedripmail.com, which you can go to and check out. I'm actually changing up and putting in some more campaign packages in there, but by the time you see this, it might be done. If not, you can just check out what I have there, because there's opportunities for you to get the campaigns that I've used in my own top producing career, and I'm still using them and constantly upgrading those, and they will always remain as upgraded as I can. If you're looking for a new CRM, engage more CRM. And if you want free stuff, go to exposedagent.com. Maybe we can put all these in the link and the video. You know, I can give you all those links.
We'll put them in the show notes. You literally just took care of the whole thing. I usually ask the next book and then how people can get a hold of you. So
my next book is actually going to be the templates. They will only be in the book version, but I've got some templates. And my third book is going to be the life cycle of a lead magnet. So all this stuff I'm telling you about in much more detail. The challenge I have is that I train and coach in every CRM out there when you ask me to. So it doesn't matter what CRM you're in, we can build them for you. I can help you with all that. And you can check all that out at exposedagent.com. But the challenge I have is that, you know, if you just got to get it set up, but I can't train on all of them in a book. It just makes it hard. So I can give you the general idea, and then go to YouTube too, because I got videos out there and some of the CRMs out there. But my campaigns are set up to be used in the majority of our popular CRMs. So you're going to get them. Remember the merged fields I was talking about? Yep. You get them specifically for those CRMs the majority of the top ones that everybody's using out there. That's so, or you can come to Engage More and get over 30 of them built, already pre-built with landing pages. But I don't care what CRM you use, just use one and learn it.
That's the best advice there the whole day.
Honestly,
you can pay for it. You can sit there and say it doesn't work, but it's like, if you don't use it, if you don't get in there, and I've coached and trained a lot of agents, and they're all get to that point and they get stalled out, and it's like, you're not using it. If I saw you using it, you could
thing because many of them want to use their company CRMs, which I do caution against. You might lose everything you have, all the energy you put into, you know, I caution against it, but I understand it. You know, I understand why you're using it, but I think at the time, if you can't afford to get your own, you run a risk, but be careful and eventually get out of it if you can, because you really should be able to just put your logo on your website and your CRM and take everything with you wherever you go. And then you don't risk it. And guess what you get at the end? Something that you can sell when you're done and you're fried, you know, because eventually that's going to happen. And then you won't have anything, you know, sell it to the next person that, or, you know, work out a deal where you got referral business for the rest of your days. So, and you can't do that off an Excel spreadsheet. Sorry, it's going to be too hard. Your notebook that you end up losing, right?
Exactly. Well, yeah. Patty, I really appreciate being on the show and sharing your insights and wisdom with our audience. And I know that if they take even a fraction of what you teach and apply that to their business, they will start to see successes. So thank you for sharing your wisdom and experience. And I know I can feel a passion in it, and I know
love stuff. I love who talks about this stuff. It's the least sexiest thing in our business, but I love it. Awesome. So
I appreciate
thank you so much, Ryan, for having me. I appreciate it so much. You.
Thanks for checking out today's episode. If you'd like more videos like this, be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, check out our Facebook page and our other social media channels. Looking forward to bringing you more great content like this, and happy farming.